Well, I certainly have been encouraged this morning so far. Well, there's something that's been on my heart for quite some time already, as we hear, especially with the spring approaching and thinking about the summertime, and something that's been close to my heart is witnessing, and heard some talk here, I believe last Sunday. Some have alluded to some of the aspirations of what to do in the future as far as being a, you know, activities and so forth, and as far as our church in engaging in evangelism, and something that's been on my heart for quite some time, and that I believe as a church, it's something that we do need to be involved in, and I'd like to read something here in the book of Acts. The first, Acts 1, here in Acts 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Ye shall be witnesses. We are called to be witnesses. Here, that was the last words of Jesus before he left here. If you look at the context here, here in the Acts of the Apostles, Jesus, after the crucifixion, he spent 40 days with the disciples there and with the people that seen him after the resurrection. And right before he went back, he gave this word, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And so, Nate, you shared about Jesus and about being an example. You know, to be like Jesus, we have to die. We have to die, just like Jesus did. If we want to be a disciple of him, we want to be effective, we want to live like he did, we have to die. And to be witnesses. So we want to look at this subject this morning on personal witness. Our responsibility in personal witnessing. And corporate witnessing as well. But we as a... studied some of the book of Acts here, and it wasn't long until after the Spirit was poured out there at Pentecost, and the disciples, he told them to go back and to wait for the promise, for the anointing of the Spirit. And there, after they went out from there, they went out and they preached the gospel everywhere. And it wasn't long until they run into trouble, to run into problems and opposition and criticism and by the religious people. And and he told them that they would face opposition. He did, and they're going to do. But he charged them to go out, us, I should say, to be witnesses unto both Jerusalem and in other parts. So we are. I want to consider a man this morning, here in the beginning, our brother Noah. Noah was somewhere around 500 years old when he was called by God to build an ark. God told him there was going to be a flood. And that there was a flood coming. Then it was around, he was around 600 years old when the flood finally came. And he entered the ark. That's about 100 years difference there. And what did he do in that time between 500 years old and 600 years old? If in the Genesis, it doesn't really say what he did with his time there. Now we think, well, he was probably preparing, you know, for the big event that was coming, and preparing and building the ark. Of course, we assume he was doing that. But Peter, in 1 Peter, there's a little verse there in 1 Peter where he says that he preached. I have to turn to that. I don't know if I have that reference, but anyway, he talks about that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Yes, he was a preacher of righteousness. So we believe that he was a preacher of righteousness also during that 100-year span. But God told him from the beginning how many souls would be saved. Him and his wife, his boys and their wives, his children and their wives. So Noah knew ahead of time there's not going to be other than his family. But God told him to do it. He said, you must to go and warn the people. So, you know, is that a little bit the way we feel sometimes. What is the use? You know, are they going to hear? Do they want to hear? What are they going to think of me? What, you know, are they going to laugh at me and make a fool of me if I, you know, depending on what I say? But God told us, according to be a witness. So Noah, maybe gathering some animals. We don't know what he all did in between there, but he was warning the people. Why was he preaching? Why was he warning? Was it because he hoped some of the people would get on the boat with him? Maybe that he thought that he was hoping that someone would get on the boat with him. But the fact is that God had told him how many souls would be saved. So, but Noah preached anyway, knowing that he was going to get he was young, that all that he was going to get. I thought that's kind of interesting. Maybe that's something, yeah, that we wrestle with in our witnessing, perhaps too, is to people don't want to hear. But anyway, and then the other thing is we consider our society the corrupt as it is, and we also wonder sometimes, you know, what is the use? They don't want to hear. I know when we go into New York City, there at Washington Square Park, or anywhere where you go, there's always those that are obstinate and they're there to laugh at you and all that. But then there's also those that are listening and appreciate what you're doing. But we do realize that our society, our culture, our American culture is becoming, we even thought about it the last time we were in New York City, that we even talked about it there, that it seems like the generation that's there now is more devoid of truth, the younger generation, and it just has changed in the last 20 years of I'm not sure how to describe it, but it seems like there's a degeneration of it. But lest we think that all the wicked society of this age that we live in presently, that we blame it all on the technology. Yeah, we talked about that, that the technology and all that probably has something to do with the present age and what is the entertainment world and all that. That's that the generation today is less interested in the in church and hearing about the gospel. But there's something I'd like to also look at this morning in Acts 2. Look at a different story. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, lest we think that, that this generation is worse than what it was in the Roman society, where when the birth of the church was born there after Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come, and the fear of God was poured out, and that the church was birthed at Pentecost. That was a new society, a chosen generation, a people that endeavored to live out God's will on earth. It started there that day in the upper room, and went out from there that day yet. And there was a sermon preached that 3,000 souls were added to this new society. It grew rapidly. Its first converts were Jews, eventually went out to the Gentiles and were grafted in, became part of the church. But it was barely birthed till it came under persecution, like I had shared earlier. When Satan, through the Jewish leaders, tried to crush it as soon as it was birthed, he tried to stop it through the Jewish or religious leaders, so that the first persecution came from the Jewish people. It was not long until it spread out into the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire is the ones that actually killed Jesus. The Jews, the religious people, got the Romans to do it. So it continued to grow in the middle of the Roman Empire. Roman culture, the Roman Empire, by A.D. 60, rose up with tremendous persecution against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in spite of the persecution, it took root. The roots went down deeper into the lives and continued to shoot up and produce fruit of righteousness and holiness. Now, lest we yet get discouraged, culture does affect us. But lest we get discouraged and blame too much on the ungodly culture around us. The culture of the Roman Empire was like where the Church of Jesus Christ took root and grew. Yeah, the Church of the Roman Empire was like where the Church of Jesus Christ took root and grew and grew and thrived, even did thrive. And eventually it was so powerful as the whole Roman Empire became Christian. Now, we do not agree with it that that was a corruption of the church. They worshipped many gods. They had a lot of gods that they worshipped, the Roman Empire. The early church were called atheists by the Romans, the Roman Christians, even though they believed in the Trinity. They believed in one God, but because they believed in one God, the Romans said, "You're atheists because they worship many gods." They lived in fear and superstition, believed in evolution. This is the Roman Empire. Romans did not believe that humans could have a divine nature, but that they could justify. That's why they could justify unmerciful slaughter of humans. Because they didn't believe that you could have that divine nature. Romans did not believe that's why they justified the unmerciful slaughter of humans. Secular Romans shared views of the scientists concerning evolution from animals. They believed the common belief system of the day. Talk about public nakedness, much immorality. They had public bathing. They used to do nude bathing. First it was men and women apart, separately, but later it was done corporately. By the second century, it was again more separate, but the Christians were concealed with, were concerned, but the Christians were concerned with modesty. They would not be take part of that public bathing. You know, we have the just considering our technology, what we have at our fingertips, and we say it's terrible, and that's why we're so concerned about the lewdness of our days at our fingertips. But I just want to draw our attention to that, what the early church was birthed under was no different, just a different way. The outcome was the same. Entertainment. You think they had entertainment? They did not have smartphones or iPhones, iPads, and whatever else we have today, but they did have entertainment. Wealthy Romans had much leisure time, which they filled with entertainment that pleased and excited the flesh. They had luxurious feasting that lasted for 10 days. They had 20 or more courses. The theater was a favorite pastime of upper-class Romans as they watched the actors portray immorality and crime, rich and poor alike, flock to the sporting event in the arena. Competitive chariot races often resulted in the death of the driver. Animals. Fights were brutal and bloody. Soon this was not enough for the Romans and Cretes. They hunted down vicious animals, caught them, and placed them in the arena. The unarmed Christians were placed in the arena, and starving animals, such as lions, were released on them. Eventually, gladiators were sent into the ring to fight each other to the death. This is what our early Christians experienced. All the while, the crowd growing wild with excitement. Gladiators were usually prisoners that were condemned to death already. The Romans justified this gruesome practice by giving him a chance to earn his freedom. In the middle of that church of Jesus Christ grew and grew. Christianity grew in the middle of that, and showed forth the world a standard of holiness and righteousness and purity, godliness. And it went forward and it grew and grew. Eventually persecution abounded and Satan tried to crush it out, but it prospered. These were some of the things that they faced. It was hard for them to find work and to get paid for it, because the masons were asked to build temples for idol worship or false gods. They could not do that. Being a soldier was not an option. Tailors were asked to make clothes for certain activities that they could not do with a clear conscience. Incense makers were asked to make incense for temple worship. Doctors had to work in hospitals that were full of idolatry and offering to pagan gods, which they could not do. Abortion, we think that it was just a modern practice. It wasn't. The methods used were different, but the results the same. Divorce. Divorce was common in the Roman culture. Most marriages were arranged by parents, often a considerable age differed between husband and wife. A lot of differences between husband and wife. Marriages were unhappy. Divorce considered proper in Roman society. Remarriage occurred 4 to 5 times. The early Christians did not permit divorce, immorality, and unfaithfulness in marriage. Was terrible homosexuality, rampant, high fashion, low modesty. Roman women arranged themselves with gowns, with clinging material, adorned their body with jewelry. They arranged their hair in elaborate hairdos, with curls, bangs, fancy braids, even doing their hair with imported wigs, painted their lips, eyeshadows, pasted false eyelashes on their eyes with powder and rouge. The Christian women took a stand against it. Many of the early Christians were slaves and were subjected to horrible treatment. But in the middle of that culture, the church was established. It grew and overcame. Just to remind us not to give any excuse to our culture of the things lacking. You can't give any excuse to our culture. Now, the only thing that I consider that's different in our culture than was in their culture, we don't experience the persecution that they had. They were under tremendous persecution. We have all the rest of the things that we face, that we have to, that we're called by God to be a witness in our culture, to be a witness in our generation. I have some quotes here from, maybe this is the reason. I have a few quotes from probably out of the Martyr's Mirror, maybe some of them, one of them, and yeah, Ignatius, that would be out of the, maybe that's the reason they prospered. Maybe this is why they triumphed. Ignatius, it is necessary, therefore, to not only be called by the name Christian, but to actually be a Christian. Brother Nate, if we are not ready to die in the same manner of his suffering, his life is not in us. Bring on the fire and the cross. Bring on the wild beasts. Bring on the breaking of the dislocating of the bones, severing of my limbs, and the destruction of my body. Bring on the tortures of Satan, Only let me attain to Jesus Christ. I would rather die for Jesus Christ than reign over the ends of the world. Is this why they prevailed? And is this why they triumphed? I wonder. Another quote from the early Christians. Among us you will find uneducated persons, craftsmen, old women. If some are unable to prove in words the benefit of our teaching, these very deeds demonstrate the benefit of its arising. Of our firm belief, rather than refreshing speeches, they practice in reality. When struck, they do not strike back. When robbed, they do not go to law. They give to those that ask of them, and they love their neighbor as themselves. Let us not give any excuse to culture, young people. Our own culture is not friendly and takes on a different form today. A quote from Bruce Shelley, he wrote a book here. I did not check this out, but the man that wrote a book, he wrote a book on church history. The main cause of the hatred of the Christians in the Roman society lies in their distinctive lifestyle. He said in that book, he described that the main reason for it was in their distinctive lifestyle that they were. So, yeah. We're called to be witnesses. In these were the last words of Jesus. I would like to read something in, yeah, anyway, in Ezekiel then. The verses in Ezekiel, I think I'll do that now. I was going to read that in the beginning and at the end, but Ezekiel. See if I can find it here quickly. Ezekiel 33:7-8. I want to read that this morning. I do believe that we do have a responsibility, even in our culture today, like the Romans. They were called to go out. They had, I don't believe we're facing near the hostility of the culture that they did. But yet they went out and they preached the gospel knowing that they might lose their life. And in Ezekiel here, there's some words here in 33:7-8. O thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. But his blood will I require at thine hand, if we don't warn them. Is that what it's saying? If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. So, there's a responsibility that I believe is established here again in the book of Acts, that Jesus said that ye be witnesses unto me. And I've been pondering this. What can we do? My heart burned within me as I studied this subject, and that we would have a passion for the lost, and I would have a burden for the lost, and the responsibility that is clear word here that God has given us to warn, even knowing that we may not have any converts. It's only once or twice that I know that we brought somebody along from New York City. That was, believe it, twice that I know of, that one of the guys that we were talking to got on the bus and actually came with us. Dino, if you remember Dino, he actually, I don't know if he came with us that day, but a man from Turkey that did come along that day was with Les Reinfurt for a while. I don't know if you remember him or not. He lived among us. He lived with Lester's. He was not married. And they still have some contact with him today. As far as I know, he's still endeavoring to live the Christian life. Dino, I don't know. He kind of lost his way. But he was here for quite a while. He was so touched by our preaching and singing that day that he stood with us all day long. So I'm just, My burden this morning is that we would get a vision for the purpose for us here, lest we get our focus on the material things and on the things that we may be tempted to indulge in and live luxuriously in this age that we live, because it's that is the spirit of the age of America. I called it the last time I spoke, I believe, the USB, the US Babylon. And that's probably pretty true. Now, I'd like to also give another account here, something that you can listen here as I give this here. I think there's some facts in here that maybe will help us to see our own self. Maybe this is the reason if we don't have a burden to speak to lost people, there's something wrong in us. I've heard remarks sometimes that these tourists, they're wealthy. I don't see any sense in talking any to talking or trying to hand out tracts to tourists. They don't want it. They're there to have a good time. The point is, God is telling us to do it, whether they hear us or not. Is there going to be blood on our hands if we refuse to share with somebody that we know is lost? In the late 1940s, the U.S. government commissioned William Francis Gibbs to build a troop carrier for the Navy. They wanted a ship that could carry 15,000 soldiers speedily into war. In 1952, the SS United States was complete. It was the largest carrier of ships ever built. It could travel at 44 knots, equivalent to 55 miles an hour. I don't know, I didn't check that out. That seems awful fast for a big ship to go 55 miles an hour, but that's what history records. It could travel 10,000 miles without refueling and without needing to restock provision for 15,000 troops. It could outrun any other ship. It could complete a trip around the world in 10 days. The only problem is it never carried any troops. It was never used by the U.S. Navy for that purpose. Instead, it was converted into a luxury liner, carried fewer than 10,000 people, 5 acres of open deck. It had heated pools, 695 staterooms, 19 elevators, 4 dining rooms, 3 bars, 4 dining room salons, 3 bars, 2 theaters, the first fully air-conditioned passenger ship that ever had been built. Instead of being used for battle, it became a means of indulgence. What happened? Is it a picture of the church? What about us? Are we troop carriers? Is the body full of soldiers? Is it a body that has been equipped at Calvary for the battle for souls? Or is it a luxury, life of luxurious living, where we have come to enjoy our Christianity with other friends? What is it today? It's a concern of mine. It seems a correlation a bit because of the culture that we live in. We live in an affluent culture, and the drive is for indulgence in luxurious living. And I want to warn us this morning that we consider the words of Jesus, that we be witnesses, that we spend our money, that we spend our energy, our time in how can we do this? How can we do this every day with such a busy life? Beware of the cares of life, lest it choke out the word. Now, there's probably some reasons why we do not open our mouth, or maybe involved more in evangelistic or in witnessing to souls as we go. And I'm speaking this to myself. I do endeavor to practice that as much as I can. I have a lot of room. I'm preaching this to myself as well. But one thing that I do believe is a hindrance to us is fear. It's the fear of man. I think I'm ahead of myself here. The lack of knowledge, lack of Bible knowledge is another thing that is a tremendous hindrance to us in witnessing. Are we able to share an essential message of the gospel to someone? You know, it's that we learn to develop the ability to share the gospel message. You know, the apostles, one thing I forgot to mention in the book of Acts, what did they preach when they were out there preaching? They were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were preaching to the Jews and telling them that it's Jesus. They preached Christ, and that's the one that you killed on the cross, the one that you died. He's one that resurrected. They preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ wherever they went. That's what brought the fire. That's what brought the persecution. The religious leaders didn't want to hear that, and they tried to stop them every way they could. And we have some obstacles. We have obstacles as well. Maybe it's maybe it's apathy, or just maybe we really do not care. about the lost people. Maybe we don't have really a care. We do not take time for it in our heavy, busy schedules to interact and engage with those we meet. Eternity is forever, brothers and sisters. Every soul is going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. There's only two places. There's only two. There's nothing in between. It's either heaven or in hell. The fear of man. What will someone think of me? Self-consciousness. Could be a form of pride, that self-consciousness. Because it's what would they think of me? But what would they think of God? You know, it's more important what God thinks of us than what people think of us. So may we lose our identity, like Brother Nate was sharing. To be an example of Jesus, we have to die. And this is a part of a dying to my own self-consciousness to talk about Jesus Christ and the resurrection, what the unbeliever might think of me and how he might criticize me or laugh at me. Maybe we're afraid we'll lose a friend, maybe a customer. Maybe we're afraid, but maybe if I share the gospel with this man, that I'll lose him as a customer. So, yeah, lack of compassion. We rarely consider that those who do not know Christ will suffer an eternal punishment in hell. How often do I consider that? It says, rarely consider that those who do not know Christ will suffer in eternity. We don't have this self-consciousness, perhaps, the way we should have, that if a person doesn't know Him, and maybe that affects us in keeping our mouths shut, that forever he'll be away from the presence of God and be punished forever in hell. I like to read Thessalonians 2:1-8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And verse 10, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe in the day. So, yeah. All those that know not and obey not. That's a sobering statement there. Do we have a responsibility? I know it's God's will that not one soul should perish. But that's, I believe, why Jesus said, I want you to be witnesses to me. I want the people warned, that we have a responsibility to warn them, whether they hear us or not, because of the scriptures. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and that the glory of His and from the glory of His power. They will be forever away from that. So on the commissioning of our witnessing is based on the scriptures like that. So, may we consider that take it seriously. As I with thinking the banner that I have, I know most of you have seen that, and it seems to be such an effective tool in banners or something with words like that in New York City, where it was too late in the game to, I don't know if we could have done it or not, but I have a lot of pictures, some pictures onto my iPhone. I would like to put a PowerPoint and have some of the scenes of us in New York City and of the people standing in front of the banner and the discussions that that we had that that go on there is just a tremendous tool. I'm working on another one now. I have a vision for a few more, at least two more. I've been kind of working with a man in Kentucky as an artist to draw one, but that doesn't seem to be working out real well. But then you mentioned Dale Gish is an artist, so a little light went on in my head. Well, maybe I can get Dale to do what I want to do. I have a I have a picture out of a book. It has to be altered some because of the copyrights, but it's a picture of the ark in the water, and there's people in the water. The door's closed. The ark's in the water. It's raining. There's lightning, and there's people on the land nearby. The floods, the water's coming up. There's people in the water reaching for the ark, and So I want to put that on one side of the banner. I have some ideas for something else yet, and flee from the wrath to come, or there's just a lot of verses, a warning. I was listening to Roger Hertzler has a message in one of the identity conferences that preached a message on he's one of the men that is you can call. For Cam, he's on the one of the men that talks to people when they Cam call. Yeah, people call in for the number there to billboard evangelism. Yeah, that's right. And of course, he preached a message there, and he had all kinds of. He even has them on. You can unload the pictures that he has there, and the verses. And there's a lot of warning. I got a number of them from him. I have 20 of them here. I'd like to read here, read here this morning. That just to give us ideas and to also bring it home to our hearts that it's the heart and mind of God that we be warning the people. And fear him who can destroy body and soul in hell. Warning, flee from the wrath to come. These are all signs that he has available for us to for people to buy and to use wherever. But these are just, and as I read through them, I thought, you know, there's plenty of warning that God does want us to warn. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I was thinking about that verse for that one with the boat in the water with the people. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody might have a better idea. I don't know. I'll need some help with that. Every one of us shall give an account to God. Christ died for our sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. After death is judgment. Are you ready to meet God? Seek the Lord, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Heaven or hell, it is your choice. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. He who is divorced and remarried commits adultery. There's one thing that Roger said concerning that one. He said there's none that has gotten more rap and more attention than that one. There's a man that came up to him. And he had this sign out about who's divorced and remarried commits adultery. And this man came up to him. He said, I just noticed your sign. He said, I just got divorced from my wife. And he said, I was some time ago. And he said, I was considering to get remarried. And he said, my pastor said it's okay. They said it's okay. But he said, you know, he said, I just didn't have a real clear conscience about it. He said, does it really say that in the scripture? Yeah, he said, I spent 45 minutes sharing with that man. He said, I had no idea. It says that. And he shared that with him. So there he was. I think he was holding a sign. I'm a little bit more of the type, I like the sign sitting here and wait till they come to look and then go talk to them. I like that concept better than walking with a sign. I'm not against it at all. I mean, do it. It helps you to die. Talk about dying. But if you don't think it will, try it. If it happened to me, kind of by default, Brother Denny, we were down at, now you might have heard this before, we were down in New Holland, the fair, witnessing, and Brother Daniel Rudolph made these signs, these boards, they hung on your back, one in the front, one in the front and back, with every knee shall bow with a man kneeling, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and he had about three of them. There were three of us walking around. Brother Denny had one on there, and he was preaching, handing out tracts, and talking while he was doing this. And he said, "Now it's your turn." Bloop, plopped that on me, and I was kind of new to this, but I said, "People know me here." He said, "That's good. They don't know me." He said, "They know your life changed." So, helped me to die. Didn't all happen that night, though. Took some more, but anyway. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God is quick and powerful. The truth will make you free. Now is the day of salvation. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Everybody that has named the name of Jesus Christ should be able to say something to somebody. We should be able to say something. If we have named the name of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. However, we have to do it in a right attitude. I have some scripture for that too. Lest we become obnoxious. I know we were up there the first time we went to New York City, and Brother Rick Leiby went along. He came home and struggled. He felt like there were too many brothers that did this thing in a wrong attitude. He said there's some of them that pounded the pulpit and were hellfire and brimstone. You know, I don't know if we can get too radical or not, but he struggled with it. But anyway, here in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25 and 26, God does tell us the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God perhaps, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, yes, it's important that we have a meekness when we come to instruct somebody that opposes themselves, and to be gentle and to be patient. There's another attribute, I believe. We need to be patient. It's somebody that doesn't know. Now, if they're obnoxious and they blast you, just let them go. And just don't try and push them. Don't cast there again, casting our pearls before swine. That's another one, an excuse that I've heard used. Well, you're just casting your pearls before swine. We don't know who the swine are. But they do manifest themselves in times like that. They come forth. When you're out there preaching, they do come forth. And I think some of you that were along to New York, I think, Mike, you've seen that when they got so blatantly. But then we don't argue with them. We let them go. We try. We sing. We say, hey, let's sing. Would you be free from your burden of sin? And we just drowned them out, and it finally just goes away. But anyway, this is my burden, that we have a burden for the lost, that we don't get careful, that we get swept in with the indulgence and luxury of our day, that we not become Yeah. Lose our sensitivity to the lost soul that will spend eternity in hellfire. So God, give me the boldness and the patience and the love. Talk about love. Is it love not to tell somebody if they're doing something that they're going to hell for? Is that love? Is that love not to tell somebody if you know they're living in adultery? I believe it's the love of God to tell them, if you remain in this condition, you will be lost. You cannot be saved in this condition. There's no excuse. God says. So may God help us this morning to not fear man, but to fear God, to open our mouth of truth. If God says it, let's be obedient. Nate talked about obedience. Being obedient to do what He says. To be obedient to the Word of God. To warn the sinners. And to name their sin. To warn them. You cannot go to heaven with that. You cannot go to heaven that way. But give them the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. And to give them the gospel. This is my desire. To learn to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To help the souls that there is a remedy. That there... Yes, we give them the hard message, but we also give them the answer for it. That God made a way. I was just trying to think of something that John Dee said that people ask him. He's a billboard, one of the billboard recipients, and they ask him hard questions. Well, what do I do with somebody that, I'm not sure if it's the way they died because of, if it's cancer or something that they're trying to, well, why does God do that? Why would God allow somebody to go to hell? And John Dee's reply was to them, well, God made a way that they don't have to. God made a way for them. And it's through, I'm not sure, I wanted to get that quote. I thought that's so profound. You know, that God has made a way that it's not willing that any should perish, but that He gives the grace if we repent of our sin, and that He's made a way. But it's the unwillingness of repentance and acknowledging of your sin. That's why. Yeah, I can't get it together. But anyway, I thought that was so profound that God does make a way. So all the hard questions that do come when we're in evangelism, may God give us wisdom. And I think it's something maybe we should study in how to do that. And there's others that have studied those things and have things that we can draw from to help us. There's one thing that I was trying to... I know there that Cam has some... testimonies of people that some of the people that call in on the billboard, and they have some of the things recorded. I was hoping to get some of that. I'd like to, what I'd really like to do is put a PowerPoint together. It's kind of just a experiment this morning a little bit on my burden that I have and how to share all this, but I'd like to do it with a PowerPoint with some of the the scenes out on the street and maybe some of Cam's testimonies to help us to invigorate us and inspire us, I should say, to be a witness. It's the last words of Jesus, that you be witnesses unto me. And in the I shared what the early church went through, and the church grew and grew and prospered in the midst of that. Can we prosper spiritually? Can we be a light? Can we be a people, it's a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. He says, that's what He wants us to be. He's calling us to be that. He's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to godliness, to be a people that the people can see there's a, that we're with Jesus, that there's a life, not just saying, like Nate said, not just say we are, but a reality, that we are a people that living it experientially by our character, by the way we do business. And so may God help me and all of us that we be a mouthpiece, and that we be a an influence for the body, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who shed His blood, suffered and died. May we suffer. May we be willing to suffer humility for the name of Jesus. Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Okay, may God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank You this morning. I do pray that You would just give us, help us, Father, in to be bold and to be fools for Jesus and to open our mouth for every opportunity. I thank You, Lord, for those that have a burden and for those that maybe do not have a burden, maybe would develop one and to realize the need for it, because You said it in Your word that we are called to be witnesses, even though maybe no one responds like Noah, only his own family. But we are obedient to God's word to do it because we want to warn the people. Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church, Lord. Help us as we walk out our days here, and that we be a testimony, that the church might be a witness, not only in outward things, but also in the inward, Lord, with our characters. But that we be the light and the light that You call us to be, Father. I pray that we not be ashamed, because You told us that if we be ashamed of You, You're going to be ashamed of us. So I pray that You give us a boldness to say Jesus instead of just God or something, Lord. We know that God is real, but we know that the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. So help us not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, I pray for each one. I pray Your blessing, Your blessing on each one of the families here as we develop these things in our hearts, that we be effective and that we might see the need for it in our life, and that we be more effective and make plans to be involved in personal witnessing, to open our mouth. In Jesus' name, I pray that You would help each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, brother. Are we a battleship? Or are we a luxury liner? Are we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Or are we indulging in the with the cares and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, choking the word? I really appreciated that message, that challenge. I needed it. I've been there holding signs before. It's been a long time. And just various things. I really think that we can do a lot more locally. I'm not against New York City at all. I think that's a great place, but there's a lot of local places that we could be more involved in. We can be involved in on a more regular basis, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of needs around us. Do both. And the one time we went to Intercourse, and that was a real blessing. I think all that was there would say that. Roger Hertzler's signs, you can see one right out the back door there. It's on the back of my van. That's one of his signs there. Where will you spend eternity? Dear friend, where will you spend eternity? Seek the Lord where while He may be found. And yeah, they're easy to get. He'll mail them to you. You had the list there, and they're very easy to put on. Yeah, I think about our service and how it flowed together very well, Brother Nate, with not second place, not Christ in second place, a third or fourth, but in first place, and being being sold out to Him, and then even the children's lesson, very very fitting, pulling together. In just a few minutes, we're going to set up for the fellowship meal, and everybody works together, and it all just flows so nicely. And within just a few minutes, we have all the chairs up and the food's out, and you know we're having our lunch, and yeah, just being able to do that in a spiritual sense, in a witnessing sense, what a blessing that would be. And then yeah, the message, I just really felt like it was a message that God had for us today. All right, well, I'll open it up for anyone else. If you have something to share, raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. Hey, Brother Oren.
Well, amen, yes. I agree 100% with Lawrence there that we as the people of God are obliged to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He has risen from the dead and He has given us life, eternal life with Him and many promises. And we also, we have a glimpse into eternity. I'm always impressed when I read in Revelations, it says, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And what did they say? Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God. Are we doing that today in our life? We're going to then. Mm-hmm. That's the witness. Do we glorify His name? Do we give Him power over our life? Do we bless Him? Do we say that all wisdom is from Him? Do we thank Him? Mm-hmm. Is that our testimony of the day? There's a statistic that always, it just moves me, that I know that when the sun sets today worldwide, 250,000 people are going to go to hell without hearing the word or even the name of Christ. And Lawrence said those people, because of our lack of zeal for His name, are we going to be accountable to those people? Mm-hmm. Closer to home, you've heard me say it before, that just the 10 closest neighbors to your house, speak to them of God. Mm-hmm. Bring it closer to home, the two closest neighbors. You can see them from your front porch. Talk to them about God. Mm-hmm. We have the good news. There is no other name under heaven and earth whereby you must be saved.
That's right.
And I'd also like to amen Nate's message this morning. I was really blessed by his zeal and his determination to have Christ first and always. And I was taken, my mind went to the place where the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee. Be with God. Come up to Him. Don't stay where you are. Go up to God and meet Him and be there with Him. Mm-hmm. And He will give thee.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? And when you talked about Noah and, you know, maybe, yeah, as far as others coming onto the ark, I'm not sure what to think about all that. But I know for us, okay, here's how I look at it. And I've shared this before, but, you know, spring's coming and we have the maple trees and they're going to have those little twirly things that come down, all these seeds. There's potential in every seed there to start a tree. But not all of them are going to start trees. If all of them would start trees, we'd be in trouble here, you know, because there's just millions and millions of them. It would just, you know, and I know we pull them out of our gardens and stuff because they do start. And that's what I believe is the potential for people to be saved. Not all will be saved. It is God's will that none would be lost, but there is potential there. There's a seed there, and they can be saved. I believe God has, it's not, He's choosing some to be saved, some to be lost. That's we don't believe that. We believe God is not willing that any would perish, and there's potential there for all to be saved. And how are they going to know unless there's a preacher? How are they going to preach unless they're sent? And all right, any other? Okay, Brother John.
I just want to say I was very blessed being here under the Word, and I appreciate all three messages. Really fit together well. I really appreciate Lawrence's vision on reaching out. You know, and I was thinking, you know, like you said, you know, we try to reach out sometimes. Sometimes I think we're ashamed of God. And, you know, I was just thinking about the Word. It says, if we're ashamed of Him, He will also be ashamed of us. And I think as we meditate on that, you know, if God is our greatest passion, then witnessing will be our greatest passion too. But if we're ashamed of God, then we'll also be ashamed of witnessing. And you know, just as a way to, God's kind of telling me to examine my own life. Because I know sometimes we do think, you know, what's so-and-so going to think or what's so-and-so going to say. But if our focus is Christ, then we won't be ashamed. But if our focus is self, we will be ashamed. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage us. We really heard from God this morning. And you know, we don't have to wait till we go to New York to put it in practice. We can put it to practice tomorrow.
That's right.
Let's not be ashamed of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, when you also, Lawrence, talked about making other signs, we have a few artists around us here, I'm pretty sure. There's some young people or different ones that like drawing around, you know, in our church body. I would say if anybody, you know, has an interest in you know, artwork or has a skill there or whatever, go to Lawrence. And I mean, you know, you can just say, well, you know, this is what I'm looking for. Draw something up and just see what comes in. I think, you know, some of our people would shock us and how good it would be and that. So, I just put that word in for young people, old people. Some people know how to draw. I'm not one of them.